The Bible reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 15. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also the completion to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jason. Friends, this morning and for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at a few hot topics, at some issues that have been raised, which we feel are worth delving into from the perspective of the Word of God. And our topic today, as you have probably gathered, is all about money. Or to be more precise, it's about our call as Christians to contribute financially to the work of the Lord and His church and His kingdom. And so we're going to be asking some questions like, why should we give? How much should we give? With what attitude should we give? And through which avenues should we give? But you know, as I introduce this topic, I do so with a degree of hesitation. And one reason for that is simply because money is a touchy subject. I mean, I once heard it said that the last two parts of a Christian to be converted are the right foot and the hip pocket. And if you're not sure what I mean, that's because the right foot is the one that presses the accelerator and the hip pocket is the one that contains the wallet. And you know, there's a lot of truth in that. People really do not like being challenged about their wealth and how they use it. They very quickly become upset and defensive and offended when a matter like that is raised. But that isn't a reason to ignore it, is it? Because let's be honest, money and giving are very, very prominent topics in the Word of God. But you know, another reason why I hesitate is because I know full well that a good portion of the money that is given to this church comes to me by way of my salary, my stipend. And so I might be seen to have a vested interest in this topic today, and that might make things a little bit awkward. But you know, that's why it's worth mentioning right up front that here at Riverbank, myself, my co-pastor Reuben, all of our staff, we're all on set incomes, and they're totally unaffected by how much is given. If more would come in as a result of this sermon, you can be assured it doesn't mean a pay rise for me. Unlike the situation in some contexts and some churches, I'm not preaching to make myself rich. So friends, what does the Bible teach us about giving? Well, the first principle that we need to understand is that everything we have belongs to God. Listen to what David says in 1 Chronicles 29 as the people were contributing to the building of the temple. This is what David says. He says, "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven on earth is yours. Wealth and honor come from you. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." In the words of that old hymn, "We give you but your own. In any gift we bring, all that we have is yours alone, a trust from you, our King." It's so important, isn't it, to remember that we're not talking here today about us giving to God from what is ours. But today we're talking about giving back to God what is already His. But the next thing that the Old Testament teaches us is the concept of tithing. And perhaps you're familiar with this. You see, in various places, the Lord commands His people Israel to pay to Him a tithe. And that means that they were to give to Him a tenth, 10% of the crops that they grew and the livestock that they raised. And so, for example, in Leviticus chapter 27, we read these words. It says, "A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. Every tithe of the herd and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord." So what was the purpose of this? Well, three main things. In the Old Testament, tithes were given to support the Levites who were working at the temple. Secondly, tithes were given so that the people could celebrate religious festivals, so that they could worship the Lord. And thirdly, tithes were given to care for the poor and the needy, ensuring that no one amongst God's people would go without. But you know, we need to be careful about the idea, which I think is quite common, that 10% was all that they gave. You see, the multiple commands to tithe indicate that the people were probably required to give more than once from the same crops and the same herds. And the Old Testament also speaks to us of free will offerings that were being given on top of that, such as to build the temple and other things. And so many experts believe that the total percentage that the people were giving was at least 20% and maybe even more. Whatever it was, the point is very clear. The Lord commanded His people to give a significant portion of their income, which He had blessed them with, to give it back to Him. But what about today? Would the Lord still expect us as New Testament Christians to tithe? Would the Lord still expect us to give 10% of our income for Him and for His work? Would that really be what He requires of you and me? What do you think? Well, I think the answer is definitely no. And the reason is because I think the Lord never has the same expectation of us today as what He had of His people in the Old Testament. Because you see, I'm convinced that today the Lord always expects much, much more. And that's because we now no longer give out of duty and in response to a command. But my friends, today we give out of gratitude and in response to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The law has now been written upon our hearts. And you know, we see this reflected so clearly in our passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You see, when Paul wrote this letter to the church in Corinth, there was an ongoing issue happening over at the church in Jerusalem. Without going into details, there was great hardship among the Christians there. And Paul made it his business to get the rest of the churches to help out. And so, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the first time he wrote to this church, he said toward the end, he said, "Now about the collection for the Lord's people, the ones in Jerusalem." He says, "Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made." He urged these people to collect money for this cause. But the problem was that in Corinth, they'd become slack. They had forgotten that their income was provided by God was to be used for his purposes. And so they were keeping it all for themselves. And so now in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul returns to the topic. And as we look at what he says, we need to start by considering the basis of this giving. Friends, was it the same as those tithing commands of the Old Testament? No. Listen to verses 8 and 9. Paul says, "I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Paul says this is all stemming from what Jesus has already done for you. Jesus, he had everything. He is the divine Son of God. He possessed all the riches of heaven and earth. But yet for your sake, he gave it all up. He wasn't stingy. He didn't keep his blessings to himself. No, he gave up his glory. He gave up his comfort. He even gave up his life so that we might receive the riches of his salvation. That's the extent of his love. That's the wonder of his grace. And Paul says that is now the basis of our giving. For if Christ gave so much, then how could we not want to give for him in return? Paul says, "I'm testing the sincerity of your love, because giving is a sign of God's grace working in you." Did you notice how in verse 1 it says there, it speaks of the grace that God gave the Macedonian churches in order that they were able to contribute? And did you notice in verse 6 how he urges the Corinthians to complete this act of grace on their part? And did you notice in verse 7 how Paul encourages them to excel in this grace of giving? And that's why I've titled this sermon today, "The Grace of Giving." Because friends, we need to grasp that as God's people today, we're not called to give out of obligation or out of guilt, but we're called to give in response to what the Lord has already given to us out of his amazing love and his incredible grace. We are called today to excel in this grace of giving. But what does that really look like? Oh, well, Well, Paul points first to the example of the Macedonians. The Macedonians, they were the churches in Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea. And in verse 1, he says to the Corinthians, we want you to know how God's grace is working in them. And so listen to verse 2. He says, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. These Christians, they weren't doing very well. They had problems. They were in poverty. But yet that did not stop them from overflowing with joy and being amazingly generous. Just think about that for a minute. I mean, how quickly we focus on our own difficulties. How quickly we just put all our own needs first. And then if we do give, we can do it begrudgingly and unhappily and stingily. Oh, but these poverty-stricken believers, they were happily giving with rich generosity. Oh, how humbling that is for us. But their giving wasn't only generous, but it was also sacrificial. Listen to verse 3. It says, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Isn't that astonishing? They weren't just giving that little bit that they had left over, but they were giving what wasn't left over. In other words, they were going without in order to help others in need. I wonder how often we do that. Can I honestly say that I've ever really sacrificed in order to give for the Lord? Have I ever gone without something so that I could contribute? Have I ever forfeited going on a holiday or from buying something that I really wanted, let alone forfeiting clothes or food? And have you? Or have we only ever given out of our incredible abundance, never even missing the money that we gave? Oh, that makes me think a lot about this. Maybe it makes you think too. Paul says their giving was also enthusiastic. Verse 4, he says, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. These Macedonians, they were motivated not because of outside pressure, but they were motivated from within. Paul wasn't begging them to give. They were begging him. They were begging him to be able to give. And that's what God's grace can do. I wonder if it's doing that to us. Do we only respond when the call goes out, you know, when it's really desperate? Or are we actively looking for opportunities? Are we pleading for opportunities? Do we see it as a privilege to support the Lord's work? Finally, we find the Macedonians' giving was not only generous, sacrificial, and enthusiastic, but it was also surprising. Verse 5, it says, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us. Paul didn't really think that these people, these poor people, were going to give anything, or at least not much. He thought they'd be like so many other Christians, just being half-hearted and minimizing their efforts and thinking more about what others should be doing rather than they themselves. But they exceeded his expectations, Paul says, giving wholeheartedly to the Lord and to his people. Oh, what a marvelous, marvelous description of these grace-filled Christians. What a marvelous example they are. Giving generously, not out of wealth, but poverty. Sacrificially, even beyond their own ability. Giving enthusiastically, pleading for the opportunity, for the privilege. Giving surprisingly, beyond expectation. Oh, to be willing to give like they did, to respond so amazingly to the grace of God. Perhaps you're here this morning and you think you've got enough, you don't have enough to be able to give. Well, remember the Macedonians. Perhaps you don't think that sacrificing from God is necessary. Well, remember the Macedonians. Perhaps you're only motivated when the hard word is put on you. Or perhaps you only contribute what you think is expected of you. Oh, we need to remember the Macedonians. God's grace worked in them in such an astonishing and powerful way. But surely God's grace can work the same way in us. But having shown the example of these people, Paul goes on to give some advice now to the Corinthians. Listen to what he says in verse 7. He says, "But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." Paul says to these people in Corinth, well, you've responded to the gospel in so many wonderful ways. In what you believe, in what you teach, in your sincerity, in your love. But yet there's still this blind spot when it comes to finance. Hasn't the time come to also excel in this grace of giving? Could that apply to us? We love the Lord so deeply. We want to serve Him. We want to care for His people. We want to witness to the lost. But yet somehow this part of our lives is out of step. Is it greed? Is it ignorance? Is it fear? Won't we allow the Spirit to guide us also when it comes to our money? What does our giving really say about the sincerity of our love? We must make giving consistent with the other parts of our life. But Paul urges them not only to be consistent, but also to be persistent. Verses 10 and 11. He says, "And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it." These believers, they started off so well. But then over time, their efforts petered away. I suppose their enthusiasm probably waned. Other priorities probably came in and took over. They started falling back into their old ways. We can relate. We commit to supporting the church, to a certain project or giving to a particular need, but then over time the requests, they just keep coming and when we start thinking about what else we could do with that money and we just lose our passion. We think enough's enough. We think others should be doing more. We just can't keep this up all the time. Paul says don't give up. Paul says don't set limits. Paul says, persist in this grace of giving. But finally, he adds at the end of verse 11, the fact that this giving also should be according to your means. And he expands on that in verses 12 to 15. Let's hear it again. He says, "For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little." You see, my friends, it's not the size of the contribution that matters, but it's the willingness to give in proportion to what you have. Don't you remember that, that widow in Mark chapter 12, the one who gave two small coins. They were worth hardly anything. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." The same applies today. God does not expect a poor pensioner to give as much as a rich business person. But he also doesn't expect a rich business person to give as much as a poor pensioner. For those to whom much has been given, much is expected. He calls every one of us to consider our own means and to give accordingly. He calls us to bear our portion of the load. And God promises that if we do, then he will make sure there's always enough. Paul's advice to these Corinthians and to us today is to ensure our financial giving is consistent with our response to the gospel in other parts of our life. And to be persistent in our generosity, to not give up, and to keep giving according to our means, in line with what we've been blessed with. But friends, before we finish today, we need to get practical. We've thought about why we should give, because all we have is the Lord's, and he calls on us to respond to Jesus, who so graciously gave so much for us. We've also seen how we should give. Not a legalistic 10%, but as much as we're able, seeking to be generous and sacrificial, enthusiastic and surprising and consistent and persistent and contributing according to our means. But we also want to think today about where we should give for the Lord. And I want to mention three things today. First of all, as Christians, our primary avenue for financial giving should always be our own local church. And that's because our church is the means by which we together are called to worship God and to care for each other and to reach out to the lost. Just as Israel supported the Levites, so today we support those who work for our congregation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, "In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel." And so that means that we have a priority to provide for those who work for this church. Friends, Israel also gave in order to facilitate their worship. And today we do the same. We need materials for our children and our youth ministries, so that they can learn about Jesus. We need funds to be able to run carols and other events like that. We need facilities to be able to meet in. We need equipment. We need seating. We need technology. We need to pay for the electricity and the insurance and the rates and the cleaning and so on. But Israel also gave in order to care for the poor and the needy. And so must we, specifically as we support the work of our deacons. And we've spoken about that a little earlier on. But friends, we don't just want to maintain things, do we? Our vision is to expand our gospel impact for the Lord our God. You know that we've recently employed Tim to enhance our ministry to our youth and our children. You know that we're talking about expanding this building so that our groups are better able to operate and to do the ministry that they need to do. We're praying about church planting and how we can reach more people for Christ. And there's so much more that we can do, but it does come at a cost. These are all reasons why our primary avenue of giving must be to our own church. And so if we're part of this church, we need to make sure we're doing our share. It'd be so arrogant to expect others to contribute at all and for us not to give anything ourselves. Maybe you're already giving faithfully and generously. If that's you, then I say thank you and keep going. Keep going for the Lord. But if not, then I want to urge you to just consider this again today. Contributing to Riverbank is one of the important ways that we can excel in this grace of giving. However, in this church, we also provide a second avenue for financial donations. And that, as we've already seen on the screen a little earlier in our announcements, is through our weekly offering. Every single Sunday, the offering that we announce is not for ourselves, but it's for an outside cause. And you'll have seen that today we're supporting International Justice Mission, IJM. Next week, we'll be supporting Australian Indigenous Ministries. And so it goes on, week after week after week. Friends, do you realise that these offerings make up about a quarter of the money that comes into our church? And it means that we are contributing about $3,000 to one cause or another every single week. And so I want to encourage you to make regular and generous contributions also to our weekly offering. But thirdly, in this church, we also strongly encourage you to give for the Lord's work via other means, and many of you do. There may be people in need in your life who you help personally. There might be a local ministry here in Launceston that you're passionate about and you support. There might be overseas missionaries who you send money to, and that's just to name a few. Friends, the Lord has blessed us so richly. And as a result, we can liberally support our own church and outside offerings and many, many other causes. And we urge you to do exactly that. But let's never lose sight of why. Paul has reminded us today about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Let's learn to see financial giving as a completely natural and vital response to the overwhelmingly generous love of our Saviour toward us. I want to urge you today to think about these things. Maybe the time's come to go back and do the sums again. How much are you really giving? So easy to conveniently push that topic aside. My friend, have you experienced the grace of God? Have you understood just how much He has given for you? Well, then respond. Respond by giving abundantly for Him. Truly make Jesus the Lord of your finances. Joy will come, my friends, not in stockpiling, but in spending lavishly on God's kingdom. May our giving never be legalistic, motivated by duty, tradition, or guilt. May it be motivated by a deep love for our Lord and for His church and for the lost. May our giving be cheerful and outrageous and sacrificing and big-hearted and excellent, because that's what it is to excel in the grace of giving. Let's pray. Our dear Lord God and loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you for blessing us so incredibly richly. Father, we have every spiritual blessing in Christ freely given to us at great cost to Him. Father, how marvelous our salvation truly is. But Father, we know that you have also given us every material blessing. Lord, that every physical possession, it comes from you. It is yours, and you give it to us. Father, help us to give you but your own. Father, help us to follow the example of the Macedonians. Father, help us to heed Paul's advice to the Corinthians. Father, help us to play our part in supporting this church and in supporting our offerings and in supporting the many other needs that we see around us in your kingdom. And Father, may we remember just how much Jesus graciously gave for us and learn in response to also excel in the grace of giving. Father, hear our prayers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.